Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Now, today, I just want to continue on to talk about our youth ministry vision. Now, how many of you can remember our vision statement? I'm going to flash it up, right? Because I think by now you should have remembered it. So why don't we say it together at a count of three? Right? And I know that very often when preachers ask us to say something, right, the very first time we say it is a bit like we are not really quite into it. So the preacher will say, let's say it again, and say it again, and say it again, until like the preacher is very happy with you all. But let's not do that, because it's quite a waste of time. I always believe what the army teaches us, one times good one. Okay, so the principle of one times good one means you do it once, you do it very, very well, and that's it. Okay? So I'm sure you already know what's our youth ministry vision statement. We're going to do it one time very, very, very well. Okay, what army call one times good one. Is that okay? Ken? So at the count of three, let's just say our youth ministry vision statement together. It's just 10 words. All right, 1, 2, 3. Oh, very good. Everyone just give yourself a round of applause. Right, I don't even have to say it. Okay, so since you know it, we can go home. Okay, no, I'm kidding. Right, but 2 weeks ago, I talked about youth ministry vision statement, and I really want to, you know, explain it very well, because among here, we have new friends, especially our sec ones, right? So I talk about this youth ministry vision statement. Remember that I talk about this verse in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, which basically says, you know, that men look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. The heart representing every part of us, right, including the part that is not seen. And by that verse, I'm telling us that, you know, this vision comes into play. It's really because God is interested in who we are. You know, when God looks at, like, someone, like, for example, like me, He doesn't look at the way that maybe I dress and then make an impression of me, right, and just, you know, yeah, kind of diss me off. But when God looks at me, He sees every part of me. He sees even that even before, like, you know, I fell into sin, He looked at so-called the created human race, right? He sees that we are ultimately made in His image. In that sense, I believe God also sees a certain aspect of Himself supposed to be revealed through us. So when God sees us, He really looks past a lot of the superficial things to see the very core of who we are. And that's how this vision is possible, right? Because this vision tells us that we are not going to be looking at people in a very superficial way, but we're going to look at, you know, how God sees them and see the potential in them, right? So what God wants of us is what we want to pursue, because we know that what God wants will never be superficial, right? So I talk about how, you know, as a church, therefore we should focus on being the church, right, and not doing church. That means we don't come here to go through the motions. We are not just here to do some routine and then go off as if nothing has changed in our hearts. And this is very important, because if you think about it, you are committing many hours to being part of a church. Am I right to say that? Now, maybe on an average week, you commit just about 2 hours or maybe 3 hours, 4 hours if you go for a cell group regularly. So you might not think that is a lot, right? But if you add up the number of years that you will be here in youth ministry, or maybe even beyond that, right? Because for your school, you might just attend for 4 years, then you move on. But for a church, unless something happens, you stay here. It's actually a lot of time being invested. So for us, we are not here to play games. We are not here to waste time, because time is really precious. Therefore, we need to know what is the thing that we really want to get out of church. And that's why I coined this phrase called being the church versus doing church. We are not here just to do some church thing, right? But here to really be the church. And what that means, right, a few examples is that when you come to church, I hope that changes the vision statement, the vision statement, I hope that changes the way you think, right? I hope that you begin to not come to church asking yourself, so what's going to happen in church today, right? Who's going to lead us in worship? Who's going to speak, right? What's going to happen after service? Are we going out as a cell group for dinner, right? To starting to think about things like, what's God doing in us as a church? What's God doing in my life? How do I, right, instead of coming to church and asking ourselves, okay, how do I find God in the church? Let's think about, how do I bring so-called God, you know, out of the church into every aspect of my life? Is that okay? So this is the gist of the vision that I talked about 2 weeks ago. And this is just a very quick recap. And I hope that it will really challenge the way you think about yourself as well as your time here in church. Now today, I just want to move on very quickly to talk about how this vision statement can have impact on us as a corporate whole. Right? So by this, what I'm saying is that the things that I've spoken about 2 weeks ago is more targeted towards your, in that sense, personal life. But I also want to share, right, that if this vision is something that we internalize and everyone seek to live it out, right, what kind of impact will it have on us as a whole, right? Because I think that if this vision is really powerful, it shouldn't just affect you in your own individual life, but it should affect the way that we live as a church organization as well, right? So what does this vision means beyond yourself? What does it mean for us as a corporate whole? So that's what I'm going to share today. And some of these things I'll be sharing, I might try to go a little bit faster. Now, in case I'm too fast, for those of you who are newer, right, you can ask those who are here a bit longer, right? The reason being that some of these things I'm sharing is not new. In fact, I remember that in October, I actually shared quite a few of the things that I'm going to share with you tonight, right? And I believe that your seniors, in that sense, should be able to share with you and explain to you. Maybe not in the exact same words that I'll put it, but they definitely can, you know, share with you the gist of it very well. I have confidence in them, all right? So if I'm going too fast at any point of time, you just, you know, jot down your questions, and then after that, you can just ask the seniors in the cell group, all right? But what does it mean, right? What does this vision mean for us? So back to the whole term about being the church, right? I always say this, right, that when we look at church, today when we look at church, we use the word church to mean many other things that is not the real essence, right? So when you look at the Bible, the word church means more of people, right? The word church basically is the call out people. But in today's we tend to use the word church maybe to refer to a program like youth service or your cell group. Or we can use the word church to refer to an organization like youth ministry, Church of Our Savior. Or we can use the word church to refer to a building. In this case, the one here in Margaret Drive. So we use the word church to refer to a program, to an organization, to a place, right? But none of these things are wrong in that sense, right? Because if you go out to maybe your school, some of your friends are Christians, they might ask you, which church do you go to? So you have to tell them a place, otherwise they'll be wondering where exactly you go to. So when you use the word church to refer to these things, it's okay. But when we use it in this way, we sometimes forget what church truly is. And church is the people. We are the church. That is something that, you know, we tend to forget because we use the word church to refer to so many other things. But tonight I want to say that when we seek to be the kind of people God wants us to be, when we seek to be the church rather than to do church, we have to also remember this thing, that the church itself is made up of people. But we must always remember, one day, alright, if for some reason, Church of Our Savior collapsed, you know, maybe the building is being, like, demolished, one day maybe something happened, all the pastors, including myself, for some reason being sacked or whatever. You know, one day when there's no youth service, are you still the church? You are, okay? You need to remember that. Right? In case, if ever there comes a day that this whole building, this whole organization, this whole programs that we have just disappear, you need to remember that you are the church. Right? Because that's what God truly wants us to be. He wants church to be a reality, rather than something very superficial. Okay, and that's the thing that I want to inculcate in us. So just to give you a model of what that looks like, right, I will ask you to turn, if you have a Bible, let's turn to Acts, right? We will start from Acts chapter 2. And as you are turning there, right, the book of Acts tells us about a church. And this is when the church was first formed, right? And at that time, there was no programs, no organization, no building whatsoever. The church was just, in a truer sense, about the people. But it's only over the years when, you know, church evolved and all that, a lot of things come to, in that sense, distort the people's understanding of church. Right? But today we want to return back to this example of the early church. And in fact, if you talk about being the kind of people God wants us to be, I think this whole church is a model of that. Right? Jesus discipled his disciples for a long time. And then after that, he gives them the mission to go in turn to make other disciples. And at the end of the day, if you talk about discipleship, the key is really about following God, right? Knowing what God wants and obeying all that Jesus has commanded us. not too different from our vision. Okay? So let's look at Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at a few passages in Acts just to look at what the early church is like, to give us a fuller understanding of what it means for us to be the church. Okay? Am I going too fast? No? Okay, let's look at Acts chapter 2, and we'll start off with verse 44. Okay? Turn to your Bible. Remember last week, Auntie Dorothy said, right, paper Bible. So how many of you have your paper Bible? Well done, right? Give yourself a round of applause, shall we? Right, actually, you should give yourself a pat on the shoulder. Okay, back to Acts chapter 2. Okay, now all who believe were together and had all things in common. Right, verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Right, so you see that the church, okay, this is not communism, alright? They share everything that they have is truly because they see themselves as friends, they see themselves as one body. So you see that there's no organization here, but the people voluntarily come and they also voluntarily give. Right, verse 46, it says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. So you see that church is also not a program, right? Because they met every day. So if there's a program, there's only one because they continually met. Right? And there's no church building in that sense. Where do they meet? They meet, first of all, in the temple. And the temple is not so-called a Christian place. The temple is actually a Jewish place. The very people, in that sense, who push for Jesus' death, right? It's a place of worship for the Jews. Right? So they met in the temple as well as homes, right? So no church buildings like what we have for today. Right? Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. So you see, this church, in that sense, is quite different from what we have today. No, like, structures that we have, but yet they were so connected. And as they were being connected, God also helped them to grow. Alright? So one thing you can observe about this church is that they are really the people of God. They are connected with one another. They're connected with God. And they are constantly growing. Right? So this gives us a certain picture of what it is like when you focus on being the people of God. Right? Being the church. Okay. Move with me very quickly. Just two more passages to Acts chapter 6. And when you look at Acts chapter 6, right, verse 1, okay? Now, this is a while later more, after Acts chapter 2, you know, the events have passed. When Acts chapter 6, verse 1, it says, now in those days when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint among the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Now, both groups are actually Jews, but because of a certain language divide, they, in that sense, you know, have a sort of like a cultural gap, right? And then the 12 summoned the multitudes of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip. Alright, remember this name, Philip. Okay, I stop here first. Right. So what's happening here is basically that in the church, right, they kind of grew bigger, and then they started to have needs. And because of needs, they started to complain. And not just that, you know, the needs happened and there was like, you know, causing division over the church. Now when you look at this, this is not too different from what we sometimes experience. Right, in the church, from time to time, we have different kinds of needs. Right, and what happens when we face those needs? Sometimes we might complain. Right, like right now, our car park is gone, so Pastor Daniel always have to, you know, address people who are like, you know, like not wanting to come to church because there's no car park. Those kind of things. Right, so when needs occur, it's very natural, it's very human for us to complain, you know, or to you know, try to, you know, come up with all sorts of problems, right? Criticize this, criticize that, right? And in this case, you see that for them, it was quite a bad situation because after a while, the Hebrew-speaking Jews started to have this potential conflict with the Hellenist-speaking Jews. So you see, they also start to look at people on the outward appearance. Oh, yeah, different from me. Right? You speak Chinese, you don't speak English, you're different from me. Something like that. Okay, so you see that there was a potential problem here. But what did the apostles do? They recognized there's a problem and they decided to do something about it. And the way they do it is to get people, right, to meet those needs. So instead of allowing people to grumble and complain about needs, right, they recognize, using my words, right, they recognize that ultimately the church is the people, right? The church is not some pastor, right? So if there are needs, it's not like the pastor must go and meet all those needs and then everyone just, you know, sit down and complain when there are needs. And when the needs are being done well, then just applaud the pastor, right? Give him a pay raise. Not that kind of thing. But the apostles recognize that everyone is part of the church. They all can play a part. So that's what they decided to do, right? And out of that, you see that there's these seven men who are being raised to the position of serving, right? And when they were serving, they were doing very basic things like serving tables, right? So in verse 6, it says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And then, when you look at verse 7, this is a very interesting part, right? It says, then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and the great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So you see, when the disciples, right, they decided to involve everyone in being the church actually grew in the face of a threat. Okay, now moving very, very quickly, Okay, turn with me to chapter 8. Okay? Y'all look like y'all very, listening very intently and looking at the word of God. I realize there's sort of a difference, so that's very good. Alright, that you're looking very intently at the word of God. Okay, now let's look at Acts chapter 8. Verse 1, it says, now Saul was consenting to his death. Okay, what happened was that there was actually a persecution, so Stephen died. And it says, at that time a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Verse 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now basically, when you look at this passage, right, you see that this man whom we just read about in Acts chapter 6, he went down to Samaria. Now, where is Samaria? Samaria is a part of Israel where it's occupied by so-called the mixed race. That means at one point of time, right, the Israelites were being overrun, right, by enemies. And as a result, many of them intermarry. So for the Jews, they consider the Samaritans as, in that sense, traitors, lah, right? There's a cultural divide. And what you see here is that there was another threat. In this case, the threat was even more severe. It's a threat of persecution. So now, in Singapore, we have never experienced persecution before. Right? Am I right to say that? I think I can quite confidently say that we haven't experienced persecution before. But can you imagine, like, for some reason, something like ISIS, right, come to Singapore, right, and we go through persecution. What do you think will become of us? Right? In their case, something miraculous happened. Instead of being crushed, instead of being, like, hindered, they went further on to share the gospel. Right, and this man that we read about called Philip, right, he can be someone that is more similar to you than to me. So he's not holding like any official leadership role in the church. He's probably like so-called, maybe at the most like an usher serving here and there. Right, he became a very, very powerful evangelist. Right, and in his case, he even went on to cross a cultural barrier, which is actually a barrier that even the apostles themselves never crossed. So can you imagine, right, like someone like yourself, right, perhaps you are a member in a cell group, you are not a leader, right, when persecution comes, your pastor is stuck here in Singapore, but you went on, right, to maybe Malaysia, to China, right, you're kind of separated from your family, but you went on and you start to share the gospel and then a revival break out in Malaysia or China or India, wherever you go. Right, can you get a picture here? Now, this is a very powerful picture of what a church can really be like. Right? A church that is not, in that sense, confined by the structure, but it's really the people of God exemplifying the church. such that when something happens, even though people might think that it's a bad thing, but they actually went on even further to share Christ and bring God glory. So this is the kind of church that we aspire to be, alright? We often use this term, church without walls, which means that we don't want to be a church that's limited by anything. We don't want to be limited by our location. We don't want to be limited by our programs. We want to be a church that wherever you go, right, whether got persecution or no persecution, that wherever you go, even if you go to a place, like for example a school, that there are no Christians, you can actually exemplify Christ. You can even have the potential of bringing many, many people to know God. And that's my vision for this youth ministry. Might seem a little bit far-fetched at this point of time, but I think so long as we see that it's a biblically based vision, and we say in our hearts that yes, Lord, we'll take whatever it takes, requires of us to move towards there, then I think God will do the rest. Amen? So this is our vision. This is what I've been sharing already for a couple of months, right? So I just want to share today a little bit about what we did last year. Now, how many of you remember TOTT, Time of the Tribes? Now, Time of the Tribes is really something that I think we can celebrate. Now, if you look at what we did, all right, versus what is being expressed in the Bible, you see that we also try to do something like what the church in Acts tried to do, right? Very similar to what they did in Acts chapter 2 or Acts chapter 6, right? We see us coming together, right? For those of you who were not with us in October, what we did was that we kind of reshuffle our cell groups a bit. Actually, not a bit, like, it's quite a lot, right? So that within one clan, we call it a clan, there can be people as young as Sec 1 all the way to university students, right? I mean, we try to get different people to serve. Not the usual few, but to try to get different people to serve so that at the end of the day, almost all of us have an opportunity to serve, alright? That's what we did. So if you look at it, it's pretty much similar to the book of Acts, where everyone come and we all shared, right? We shared maybe not so much of our possession, but we shared more of our time. We shared more of our giftings. And there were also some times that, for example, I remember after every service, we also shared food. Also actually really quite similar, right? And definitely there were different kinds of needs that the clans had, but everyone was willing to play a part. Not just the week-to-week, right? The cell leaders who have been leading week-to-week, right? But different ones of you. So very much similar to Acts chapter 6, instead of having like people, you know, just being upset with the problems, the needs in the church, we give everyone a chance to take ownership of those problems. So today I'm quite happy to share with you like what are some of the so-called results of that Time of the Tribes. Now, remember that you did a survey not too long ago, right? The cell leaders probably go to you and ask you to fill up a survey. How many of you can remember that? Okay, so today I want to share with you some of the survey results as a way of, first of all, number one, right, encouraging you, and number two, also to give glory to God, right? Based on our assessment, okay, we are not able to share with you all the results because the survey is quite extensive. We only went through it more comprehensively when we have our leaders meeting. So all your leaders and myself, we evaluate together. But I just picked out some key things to let you have a feel how the project went. Okay, so two slides. Can I have, the slides, the two slides side by side? That means instead of showing one after the other, cannot? Okay, never mind. Yeah, we have the first slide, please. Okay, do you all remember these questions that you fill up? Okay, let me just go through it. Okay, the first set of four, right, is basically I enjoyed TOTT. I participated actively in TOTT. I enjoyed being a clan. You know, I did not feel awkward in my clan. There were other things like, for example, your feedback about the equipping sessions, but for those, I leave that out. Right, so if you look at it, right, you can see that most of us enjoyed TOTT. Right, most of us enjoy being part of a clan. Maybe compared to that, the so-called not so good result is that most of us still feel quite awkward lah in our clan. Right, so I don't know how you interpret the results, but for me, I feel quite positive about it because I believe that most of us will, being very human, when you are exposed to a new group, it can't be helped that you'll be feeling awkward. And TOTT itself is pretty short. It's actually 3 weeks. So I think 3 weeks for us to warm up to people can be quite a long time. And for myself, using myself as a gauge, right? For me, sometimes even 3 weeks can be quite a short time to get to know people because by nature I'm more introverted. So I think, right, looking at a very human side, it shows us that we can be very awkward, right? But yet, at the same time, it's still something that we all enjoy, right? So I think that's something that we can actually give glory to God for, right? At the same time, we do acknowledge that it's not something that everyone enjoyed. So for those of you who didn't enjoy it, but you still persevere on, I also want to give you the credit. I want to encourage you by saying that when you learn how to do something that you don't naturally enjoy doing, this is also part of your own discipleship, right? Of learning to obey the Lord, okay? Anyone still want to look further? If not, I'll move on to the next slide. Are we good to move on? Okay, the next slide, please. Okay, the next slide you will see another set, alright? Basically, it's more of your contribution and your learning. Right, the first one is more of how much you enjoy it, right, how you feel about it. So you see that the first one is about I contributed, right, whether to the clan or to the tribe. Second one is more of your confidence in your contribution, right. Next one is this part that I like, okay, right, the fact that you through doing something you learn the theory, right. So we talk a lot about being the church, and when you actually do it, I hope that you have learned something about being the church. And as you can see, 80.7%, right, which I would consider it pretty good. And the last one is I'm willing to participate in similar events in the future. This one, the result is a bit lower. Right, so maybe we went through it and feel like, wow, very tough. Okay, but I just also want to here give credit to all of you who have participated, because when we were planning it, we were struggling to find dates. In the end, we decided that we'll do it in October, despite the fact that we know a lot of people are going through exams, right? So I think that sometimes when you know, do something and there's a lot of stress involved, maybe not even just from your exams, but maybe as you contribute, you find that, wow, very challenging to lead a church, right, or to lead a clan, right? And as a result, maybe that caused certain kind of hesitation whether you want to do it again. But I really want to take this time to encourage you, because this is also my way of sharing with you that leading a cell, leading a clan, you know, doing something, leading work, whatever it is, none of these things are easy. Right? None of these things are easy. So you have been someone who have contributed during TOTT. If you felt that it's really a chore or very difficult, I want to say to you that I really empathize with you. Right? Many times, even when I look at my own leadership journey, I also feel can be a bit tired, right, for the things that we have to do. But at the end of the day, when you still learn to do it, it's really part of your discipleship. It's really part of us saying that, God, I want to be the church. I want to do what pleases you the most. I don't want to come to church and look at the superficial things and just try to be entertained. But I really want to be a part of it, because I recognize this is what you want of me. So this is something that I want to encourage you. Now, so looking forward, maybe some of you are hesitant whether you want to do something similar. Maybe some of you are not very confident of yourself, whether you can continue to serve or not. But I just want to encourage you. At the end of the day, it's really the truth that matters most. And when I look at the result of 80.7% of us having a deeper appreciation of what it means to be the church, actually that is enough reason for me to say that, okay, if we need to do something like that again, we will do it. Right? Even though I know it's going to be difficult for you, right? It's just like how sometimes your parents want you to do things that is very difficult for you. In the same way, I would say we will do it. Because these are the kind of experiences that when you look back, right, no amount of my preaching can help you understand what it means to be the church unless you yourself do it for yourself. Okay? So with that, I just want to really give God glory. I think for the leaders we evaluated, the results are really very positive to us. And so this is our way of saying that, you know, when we want to fulfill our vision, it's not by our own effort, right? But it's really God who has, despite all the challenges we face, helped us to grow a step closer towards our vision, right? And we also want to take this time to give credit to different ones of you who have contributed. It's a bit delayed, but we just want to, right, for me, on behalf of all the leaders, to say that, right? And not just that, but I also want to take this time to affirm the leaders as well, because in the process of doing that, right, while the leaders might seem to have, some of them might seem to have released the responsibilities, in the meantime, right, in the background, they're actually doing a lot of different things, like equipping you and all that, right? So that's something that I also want you to be mindful of, so that you can really appreciate your leaders, right? So when you look at it, this is how we learn to be the church, right? We are not quite there at a final product, but when you look at Acts, right, Acts chapter 2 and chapter 6, at least we have an experience of that. Okay? So this is something that I hope that whatever lessons you have learned, you continue to put it into practice. But now in the final part of my message, I just want to say this. Okay, where do we move off from here? So by what I try to hint to you, you kind of know that we are not quite there yet, right? We are looking at the reference in Acts chapter 2 and chapter 6. We are kind of experiencing it to some extent already. But if you look at Acts chapter 8, that's something that we haven't quite experienced yet. And that's the aspect of us really going all the way out, right, to bring Christ out of our church. So this is something that I want to end off by saying is that, you know, when I look at this vision, I'm really not just looking at what this vision can do for you and I. Right? I'm looking at what this vision can do for the world out there. Because like it or not, every second, right, of this life on planet Earth, every second someone is dying without knowing Jesus. Right? As you're listening to me speak, right, every moment there's someone dying without knowing Jesus. Even when I pause like that, the people are still dying without knowing Jesus. And I'm not saying that Kus Youth are going to be the one who will win the whole world for Christ. I know that's going to be very unrealistic. But I'm saying that all of us as one body can play a part. Because you see, when you look at the life of Philip, back to his life again, like when he was, I believe, in those days when he learned to serve tables in the church, he's starting to realize not just how to serve bread better, right? Even though I think he did that well. But he's starting to realize that he's a church. And at the end of the day, if everything else is stripped away, if at one day no more apostles and all that, he's going to be the one who will bring the gospel wherever he goes. And that's something that I hope for all of you. Right? My vision, it goes further beyond this year to say that in years to come, right, when maybe 10 years down the road, when I'm no longer with you, maybe you've graduated out of here, right, or I move on, that you still remember this and that you're able to help other young people to be the kind of people God wants them to be, including people who do not know Jesus. And that's only going to happen if we have a mindset shift that we start to see ourselves being a church. Right, it used to be that for many churches, including ours, that when we think about reaching out to people, what do we usually think about? Okay, this week, Pastor Peter is preaching. He's a very good speaker. So I'm going to bring many friends to church so that you can hear him and receive Christ. Okay, maybe using my own name is not a very good example. Okay, but you get the drift. Alright, that we always tend to think of, okay, there's this program. Or there's Sing for You. We have so many people, right? Like 3M, Sing for Us. Very exciting. Okay, I'm not saying that those things are bad. But that used to be our only way of so-called evangelism. But if you think about it, more and more, it becomes harder to invite people to church. Because there's a lot of, maybe even stigma nowadays, right? When you mention the word church, when you mention to ask people to come for a program inside a building like this, I can tell you that you'll face a lot of resistance. So what do we do? Do we just say that, okay, it's very difficult, so we just don't do it? Or do we think about how to go back to what the Bible teaches us? And if you look at what the Bible teaches us, there are many examples, including the example of Acts. It tells us that when you think about evangelism, really it's not about bringing people to a church building. At the end of the day, it's about going. Right? When you go, you actually get to go to people who, for some reason, will never ever come to the church building. Or it's very, very hard. So my poly lecturer always say this, right? If mountain don't come to Ali, Ali must go to mountain. Right? So basically it's telling us that you have to be the one to go if you really want the person to experience Jesus. Right? So we need to have this mindset shift. And if you don't see yourself as the church, right, there is no way you can actually go out there and imagine yourself being the person to actually bring that person to know Jesus. So it is a very nice, necessary mindset shift that we need to have. And another thing that I feel we need to change is that we need to learn how to cross barriers. Many of us, right, we have allowed many barriers to stop us. So one thing, for example, right, maybe there are certain groups in our nation that we feel is a bit harder to reach, right, a bit scarier to talk about Jesus with. Maybe there might be some repercussions if we try to share Jesus with them. Or there might be even some groups that we don't even bother to talk to them because they seem to be here to take away our jobs, our scholarship, and so on and so forth. We need to have this mindset shift that if we are the church, we need to embrace every single person. Because the church that Jesus has is not made out of all these superficial things, right? The people who are out there and need to know Jesus, Jesus look at them as the person he wants them to be. Which means that for them, this verse about God looking at the heart and not the outward appearance also applies. You got what I'm trying to say? So in the same way, if you really want to be the kind of people that God wants us to be, you cannot go to, for example, your school and look at certain groups of people by their outward appearance. Right? You need to look at what God wants to do within their hearts. Okay? So that's the gist of what I want for youth ministry to be. In fact, I know for many years, right, there are people who just come in and out of our church. And one of the reasons is that they feel that they are left out. And actually, if you think about it, many people, for some reason, they feel that they are left out when pretty much they are quite similar to everyone else. I think that's really because we don't have the culture of embracing one another. So I hope that as a church, we'll begin to change, our culture will change, so that next time, right, if for some reason you have someone come into your cell group, and this is something that in your natural mind, you never ever imagine that person to be your friend, nonetheless, you see yourself to be the church, you extend a hand to this person. Okay, that's the kind of church that we want, which I want to end off by saying that that's going to be something that we want to do this year in order to so-called like force us to go a few more steps further to learn this lesson. Okay, so last year we have TOTT, right? It's a bit uncomfortable, but yet out of that, we grow in a greater understanding of our vision. So this year, what we are going to do is that we want to form more and more ways for us to actually go out. Right? The best way to cultivate going out to reach out to people as a lifestyle is just do it. Right? So I'm wearing Adidas, not Nike, but I will still say it, right? We just need to do it. It's just that simple, right? As you do it, you recognize that the heart naturally comes. The desire to do it naturally comes. Okay, so in this year, we are not saying that we're going to cut out like programs where we can invite people to church, but more and more concurrently with that, we want to create opportunities for us to go out in small groups, you know, to people across the streets, which we have already different people doing, to maybe even certain groups in our nation that is a bit kind of out of reach, right? To even to the nation's places like, you know, last week we talked about Thailand, right? East Timor, Japan, China, and different places. We want to say that unless we go to them, right, very hard for the gospel to penetrate them because it's very unlikely for them to come to our church. Right, so that's something that we want to do. And I would say that even for the youngest of you, right? Last week we have the Thailand team came up, and you see that many of them are just secondary school students. And so therefore for each of you, right, whether you're Sec 1 or already in university, none of you are too young in that sense to go out. Right? So why don't you just turn to your neighbor and say, you can go out. Okay, but not now, let me finish this. Okay, so all of us can go out, and that's my desire for you. Okay, and so in order for us to be more ready to go out, in order for us to be equipped to go out, we are going to have a camp, right, in June, which is the camp that I talked to you about. You all still remember the camp? Right, so in June, from 2nd to 5th June, we are going to have this camp, and this camp is going to be quite different. Right, I need to preempt you first. I know when I talk about camp, some of you who like camps a lot, you are very excited, but I need to preempt you, because this is quite a serious camp, right? In the sense that we are still going to have some fun, right? But a lot more will be required of you. For example, to learn, right? It's not just coming to have fun and then hee hee ha, you go home. But a lot more is required of you to come to learn. We have a very good speaker, but he's going to take a number of sessions. So you need to really come with a heart that's ready to learn, right? From the Bible and from the experiences. And the learning won't just be like you sit down and listen, but we are also trying to, within a camp, create that experience for you to actually go out. That means when you come for the camp, if you have never gone out to like share Christ with people, you need to be prepared that when you come for the first time even, right, for those who have never done it before, you need to come ready to go out and actually practice it. So are you all ready to do that? Yes, okay, I hear yeses, but I know that slowly lah, right, we'll take time to continue to prime all of you. But this is really what we want to do. So for the whole year, from now to June, we are going to do different things to start to prepare ourselves for a camp, right? To prepare ourselves for a camp, which means that we will need different ones of you to be willing to serve again, right? Has this time around no clan, but has camp leaders, right? We will want to go out. Therefore, it means that we need people to be ready to take up the role of team leaders, which some of these places since is going to be quite challenging, right, for the younger ones to go. That means we need a lot more of the older ones to take responsibility and say, I will do it. Okay? So there are different things we're going to prepare you, and eventually after the camp, we are going to go out, right? We are trying to go for different places, right? Targeting many more places that we have never been to before. The whole reason of us doing this is so that one day, if youth ministry for some reason is closed, right? Let's say there's really a persecution happening in our church. One day, right, because you have learned about what it means, right, to be a disciple of Christ, right, through Zhou Qian, right, and because you have actually done it in the camp itself, and subsequently in our outreach teams, because you have actually done it before, one day, even if you are in a place of persecution all by yourself, you'll still be able to share Christ, right? You'll still be able to be the church to them, pretty much like the vision that I shared for with you. Right, so that's really my heart. I know that, it's still quite early, but pretty much if you really have this in your heart, you can start to make certain commitments. Right, so here are some practical ways that I think you can start to prepare yourself. Right, number one is to start to save. Remember last week, Auntie Dorothy talked a little bit about how we use money. Right, and I just want to so-called, in that sense, build out on a sermon, because I know that many times we listen to a message, we respond in the front, but we never do anything about it. If there's anything practical you can do, is that you start to save your money, right? Both for the camp as well as for the trips. I know your parents, maybe many of your parents can so-called sponsor you, right? But I want to take away that kind of mindset of entitlement. I would rather you to take ownership of even the fact that you're going to do outreach and going to save up for yourself, right? If this is your way of investing into God's kingdom, of so-called lending to God. Is that okay? So I don't know how much you all get for your pocket money. I will assume it's much more than what I have in the past. And for those of you who maybe even have the capacity to work during your holidays, you might want to consider really going, right, to earn and save in that manner. The second thing, the very second practical thing you can do is to study early. Everyone say study early. Why do I say that? Because when you want to do something for God, right. I know as students, this is always one of the deterrents. Whenever you want to do something for God, we'll be like, hey, but tomorrow got exam. Yeah. Or, I have a project submission to finish. Now, being a student before, those excuses seem very real at that point of time. But when I look back, very often I know, right, the reason why I don't have time to serve the Lord, the reason why I don't have, even the mental capacity to think about sharing Christ with my friends, is because I don't take my studies seriously, and then reach a point of time where we have things going on, right? We feel like, oh, I have no time. Okay, so this is something that I want to encourage all of you, that now we have begun, right, 2016 in January, it's still very early, and this is really a time, right, for you to commit yourself to be a very serious student, not just of the Word of God, but I believe God also wants you, right, to be a diligent student for His glory. Is that okay? Ken, so I know I've said a lot today, so I will just close for now. Next week, I'll just do a final recap for our youth ministry vision. Can I invite all of us to stand? And I'm just going to ask the worship team to lead us in a closing song. Right? But before we do that, okay, as you stand, can I also ask that you just quieten down? Right? Before we close in this response song, right, there's something I'd like for all of us to do. So this is not the kind of message whereby, okay, now you come forward and just, be prayed for. But I just want to start the ball rolling. Because in this whole process, where we want to fulfill our vision, I think I said it just now, it's really not about what we can do. Even though there are certain things that we can do, right, as a response to God. But it's really about what God can do, right? And I just want to say that the only way that we partner God, right, the best way for us to partner God is that we pray, right? It seems sometimes so intangible, but ultimately God does hear our prayers. So I think alongside with all that we want to do, right, to continue to encourage people to serve, to continue to encourage people to reach out, is this aspect of prayer, right? To ask God that beyond all that we do, that He will, you know, really bring us to that greater heights of doing what He wants us to do. So concurrently, I think as a church, we also need to start to build out, right, that whole discipline and culture of prayer. Right? So very quickly, I just ask that maybe what we can do is that you just find a partner, right, and take a minute each to just pray. Right, so this is not a reflection time, but as you know, just pair up, take this time to ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what do we need to be as a church? Now, I share with you my vision, but I believe God can also give you a vision if you seek Him. Right, so ask God for a vision of what this youth ministry should be, and as the Holy Spirit show you, or just begin to pray aloud. You don't have to share with your friend, right, just immediately start praying, and once you are done, the next person can pray, okay? Can I invite all of us to stand? Alright, let's not sit down. I know y'all might be a little bit tired. But let's stand up, okay? So that we stay very focused. And allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Right? Don't wait. Just allow the Holy Spirit to speak and immediately just begin to pray. Okay? Right, ask God to show you what is the vision that we want to have for our youth ministry. And begin to pray into being. Alright? Pray that we'll be the church. And whatever else the Lord leads you to pray for this youth ministry. And after you're done, can move on to the next person to pray.
Jesus be the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters, and nothing in this world will do. Cause Jesus, you're the center, everything revolves around you. Jesus, you at the center of it all. At the center of it all. Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. Beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. And Jesus be the center, Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. And Jesus, nothing else matters. There's nothing in this world will do. Cause Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you and nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. And Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you at the center of it all. Center of it all.
I'm just going to get a few of the guys who has they prayed. I think there's certain like vision that I get from the Lord for our ministry. So I'm just going to get them to share one by one.
Okay, now what I get from God is that we are meant to surrender in this season. So, yeah.
as I was praying, I saw a picture of a field, yeah. And then it's a very big field, and there were many tents on the field, yeah. And I really sense the God saying that in this coming year, it's a season that He will stretch us. And you know how tents are not meant to be slack, right? Like, yeah, it's taut, it's stretched to the point that sometimes when you set out a tent, you wonder if the canvas will tear, but it doesn't. It is taut and it is just like how it's designed and built. And so I sense that the Lord say that this year will be a year that will be stretched. And don't worry when He stretches us, because we will not tear. Yeah.
What I've always felt in the current days is that right now it's very hard for me, it's very hard to always be strong every day. I see the world spiraling into darkness, and a lot of things happen that I always question why. Like, God, why does this and that happen? And many times my heart falls, even with the little things that happen every day. I find it hard to find strength. And I look around and I know it's hard for everyone around me too. But one thing that I always come back to is that the reminder that God wants us to be strong, that God wants us to be courageous, even when everything seems to be chaotic or nothing seems to make sense. God makes sense. His love makes sense, and we should always be strong and be courageous in His love and His promise, and know that this life that we have, like what Ben said earlier, this life with God is worth it. And we should spend every minute and every hour, every day of it knowing that no matter what happens, that our strength and our courage can be found in God. So, yeah.
Hi. The first thing Gid spoke about was surrendering, right? Second thing Jonathan spoke about was us being a tent in this season, that God is going to stretch us and keep us firm. And whoever he is, I don't know his name. Andre shared about how God wants us to be strong, and that this is supposed to be, that it's worth it, following Jesus. But what I want to impress upon you is that we need to understand the finished work of the cross, and that Christ is coming back, right? I want you to imagine right now that Christ is seriously coming back. And that is the revelation of the finished work of the cross. If you do not know that, then you are standing on the wrong side of the tomb. Yeah. And I was just getting this idea, like, all of us, you know, we try to make this whole journey worth it. We don't have to. It is already worth it because of Jesus Christ. It's not because of us, it's because of Jesus Christ. I am such a sinner alone. I am seriously such a sinner alone. All have fallen short of the glory. All have fallen short of everything that God set us to be. But because of Jesus Christ, and as Marcus is leading a song just now, let's just go back to Jesus. Because without Him, we are seriously nothing. And that we try our best to achieve this righteousness. We try our best to make this all worth it on our own, right? But really, let us come boldly before the throne of grace. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace and ask Him for help. Ask Him to let us know what Jesus Christ has done for us. So I'm going to pray, and I just hope that you guys can pray with me as well. Let's begin. Lord, I pray for this youth ministry, that we really have a deeper revelation, the deepest revelation, that we will not be shaken with this revelation regarding what Christ has done for us, and that Christ is coming back. Right? And I pray, I know that's very vague, that Christ is coming back, but when we know that it is finished, you know, all strivings naturally cease. I'm not saying that you don't work. I'm not saying that. I'm saying because Jesus Christ has loved us so much, we just work fervently for Him because of His love. It has filled us up. So Lord, I pray that You fill us all up with Your love, with faith, so that we can have faith in You. Lord, I pray that with this greater revelation of the finished work of the cross, we will finally enter Your rest. We will have peace. Because we know that it is all done. I ask for that. I ask all these in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, we just want to thank God because God is ultimately the one who reveals things to us. His Spirit abides in us. So Father, we want to thank You for You are the God who is speaking to us. Each of us, Lord, is not too young to hear You. And tonight, I pray that as we go forth from this place, that the vision will continue to burn in our hearts. Not just our ministry vision, but Lord, that the vision that You're revealing to each one of us. The Lord, that has Your sons and daughters will continue to walk with You, hearing You and obeying You, God. And all God's children say, Amen, Amen. Shall we just give hand, you know, to even the guys who have come forward to share? Okay. So God bless you. We'll see you next week at youth service.